So from there, it was kind of, you know, it's been an 18-month process reporting the story and getting to know all the people who have been touched by this tragedy, which really goes back decades.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with journalist Ben Ryder Howe. In the latest issue of New York Magazine, he writes about the Schoharie limo crash in 2018 and the mysterious family at the center of the limousine company whose unsafe vehicle had been hired that fateful day. Well, although the tragedy has inspired public vigils, reforms to state and federal law, and ongoing civil litigation, many questions remain about that crash, which killed 20 people.
So I found out about this story about 2 years ago. I was visiting Cooperstown, and I picked up a copy of the newspaper, the Times Union. And on the front page, there was a story about the delays in the criminal case. And I was surprised because, you know, like everybody, I remembered the crash. It's unforgettable. Once I realized that there were COVID-related issues in the processing of the case, it made sense. But the more I read, the more I realized that there were just, this was a very unusual story with many layers and a lot of unanswered questions and just, a level of tragedy and sadness and anger that I had personally never seen before in any story that I'd covered, let alone read about. So from there, it was kind of, you know, it's been an 18-month process reporting the story and getting to know all the people who have been touched by this tragedy, which really goes back decades.
Now, the Times Union, as you mentioned, gets a lot of credit in your story for a lot of the breaks in the story and the reporting over the past many months on the issue of the survivors and then how it all connects to Prestige Limousine. When you looked at Nauman Hussain and his father and their role in this company, what did you find out about their background, and what questions do you still have about their background?
So there's so many questions, and I guess, you know, it goes back again really to the 1990s. They have been well covered. There have been multiple documentaries. There have been multiple articles in national publications. Very, very serious attempts to understand exactly what that family has been up to with its multiple businesses and its role in providing help to the government with these war on terror cases from 10, 20 years ago. The question is that there is, as Larry Rulison for the Times Union has pointed out, there is a very long and pronounced pattern with this family in the capital region of doing the kinds of things that businesses normally cannot do in terms of flouting regulations, breaking rules, and getting away with violating safety standards, which ultimately led to this horrific accident. And the question is, everyone who studies this case, they want to know how were they able to get away with it for so long? How were they able to get away with, for example, at one point they had accumulated about $5,000 worth of fines at the limousine company. Summoned to an administrative hearing, and they were allowed to walk with a $500 payment on those $5,000 fines. This is the kind of thing that regular business owners, people who live in this area, live in the state, live in this country, know that you don't get away with. You don't get away with not paying your taxes. You don't get away with not getting basic registrations and licenses. This was an outlaw limousine company. It was doing everything possible not to obey safety standards and regulations. And somehow that was okay. And the only possible explanation that most people have when they look at the story is that there was some sort of special treatment going on. That raises some really troubling questions.
The implication being that the family had some protection in place due to its longstanding ties to the FBI in other cases.
There are many people who have had contact with this family who were meant to feel intimidated by the connections that this that Shahed Hussein had to law enforcement. There are multiple cases of people saying, yes, he threw that in my face. And that again raises questions for people. How did they get away with not just one business, but two businesses where there were egregious safety violations going on? At the hotel that they owned up in Saratoga Springs, a child almost died because of the way that hotel was being run. Child fell into an open septic tank. This was the kind of thing that happened again and again and again. And when the limousine crashed, killing 20 people who were trying to do the right thing on the day that the limousine crashed, which was to hire a car to take them to the brewery in Cooperstown so that they wouldn't be driving themselves. And the fact that the limousine crashed, as anyone who looks at the record of that company knows, it's not only not a surprise, it seems like a certainty. It seems like an inevitability because the limousine had been, the owners of the company had done everything possible to avoid certain safety regulations, fundamental safety regulations, going back many years.
Beyond that, there was a lot of question about jurisdiction when it came to the post-crash investigation. The NTSB found itself stonewalled by the state police. How did that factor into the post-crash investigation, the question of who would oversee the investigation?
Yeah, the NTSB, which is considered the premier agency in the world when it comes to investigating crashes, they showed up in Schoharie, and the NTSB tries not to get involved in the criminal side of things or in lawsuits, but they do, they have it's their mandate, it's their privilege. It's their legal right as an agency to be involved in the investigation. And they were pushed aside. For whatever reason, their expertise was not welcome. And they were extremely frustrated. They eventually went public about that frustration. And it's one of the unanswered questions. Why they would be so unwelcome? Because they obviously have a role to play. And in this case, they did finally release a report. That report is considered the standard. It's considered the definitive report on the crash and why it happened. And they were very hard on two entities in particular. Prestige Limousine, of course. The horror, disgust, the shock, the way these people, the investigators, their conscience was shocked by what they saw was something to behold, really. They were also very upset at the oversight by the government in this case, and the state government. Their consciences were shocked. They said that this was an outlaw limousine company. For 3 years, there had been interactions with the state. 32 separate times that the investigators and the agency had interacted with Prestige Limousine, they could not understand why they were still allowed to be in business. They found that shocking. You put that together with the fact that they were sidelined, and then you have to wonder: is there some reason that people that their voice was unwelcome? It started with the district attorney of Schoharie, who was the person who excluded the NTSB from the investigation, and she's never answered that question: why she didn't want them.
Eventually, the DA offered a plea deal to the younger Hussein, who was running Prestige Limousine, and it led to a very emotional day when the families of the victims were allowed to address the court. There were so many people attending that it had to be held in the gym at the school, and that was a story that WAMC was at, of course, but it got a lot of attention because of the anguish from the families expressed that day. But also, as you report, from the judge in the case, who explained why the plea was being allowed to proceed, while also sort of directing the families to now take their case to civil court against Mavis and others. My question is, as you sort of wrap the reporting on this story, what happens to the Husseins now? Where are they? Do they face any more legal jeopardy?
The Husseins, as far as we know, are in several places. Shahed Hussein, before the crash, a few months before the crash, is said to have returned to Pakistan. There seemed to be very little interest by the government in bringing him back. And it was difficult for the families to even find out where he was. His family in Pakistan, he comes from one of the richest families in Pakistan. His brother is one of the richest men in the country, one of the largest real estate developers in Asia, and very connected to the people who run the country, both the army and several recent leaders of the country. So they've been known to travel around quite a bit, from London to Pakistan to Dubai. And there were a lot of questions about where Shahed Hussein was, and some frustration about the fact that he was just, not being in any way pressured to come back for the criminal trial. After all, the limousine, he's the owner of the limousine company. So Larry Rulison at the Times Union was able to show that he has been in Pakistan, and it's assumed that that's where he still is. His sons are still in the capital region, as far as we know, and they don't seem like they're trying to hide that. They own businesses, and it's the civil trials that are gonna happen now will take several years probably, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with those. As you said, the conclusion of the criminal trial was extraordinary, also very frustrating, also very emotional, and a terribly tragic and sad moment for people who were, the victim impact statements went on for so long because there were so many people who died on that day, and the anger and the frustration is still so raw.
We've been speaking with journalist Ben Ryder Howe. In the latest issue of New York Magazine, he writes about the Schoharie limo crash of October 2018 that killed 20 people and the mysterious family at the center of the case. Ben, thank you very much for your time. And as somebody who works in Capital Region news media, thanks for putting a national spotlight on this story, which has just devastated parts of our region for a long time.
Thank you for having me on. Good luck, and thank you for covering it. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.